the May 5th meeting of Sylvania City Council's Economic Development Subcommittee, 7:00, and present are members of council Hanem, Capellini, Brown, Westfall, Milner, and Hussman, as well as Councilman Lukey, also Mayor Stow, Law Director Leslie Brining, Chief Rodas, Mr. Aller, Mr. Sanford from the administration, and Natalie from the Blade. We've basically convened this meeting, called this meeting, to get an update from Bill Sanford about the status of the parking recommendations that council discussed and the administration embraced about 8 weeks ago. I think that there are some questions a little bit about how this integrates with the Tier 2 program and how those dollars might be used here. So we asked Bill to come in with an update. He's provided that to members of council in the packet on Friday. But I think this is an opportunity for Bill to kind of walk through it. I don't think you need to enumerate, Bill, each one of the 11 points, but maybe identify the key points and then have some discussion questions from council just to determine how things are moving. We can have some discussion if we have time on the broader issue of Tier 2 and how that relates to this. It does in one particular area of emphasis I think the administration is taking. So, Bill, are you comfortable walking us through this?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Mark. What I did is I followed the your notes from the February 28th meeting of showing the different topics in the order and kind of just went through that and to give you an update of what's transpired since then. We notified business owners and asked them have their employees park in the municipal lot toward the back end of it. And that seems to work pretty well. Now, I'll touch on that again. We talk about the enforcement issue. We're going to look at adding some signs designating where the public parking is in downtown and coordinate that with our wayfinding. You have down your consideration of Valero's property as part of our Tier 2 application. That's attractive because we can get half of the cost of the cost to install and construct that parking lot paid for by the grant. Kevin, and you can help fill in the details, but the rough estimate we have for that is about $140,000 to do that lot. So if we waited and included that in our with our Tier 2 application, the potential of getting half that cost paid for by the grant. So that's why we thought that was attractive. There was a question about the Udell property in the second block of Main Street, but available for additional parking. Mr. Udell is agreeable to specialty parking, like in some special events for downtown. He's not interested in having his parking available for day-to-day parking. So we're going to take them up on that to have it available for some of the major events that we have downtown, like some of the parades and art fair and some of those type items. Railroad crossing, we talked a lot about that, I think, at the earlier meetings. And instead of creating a new crossing, we thought staff-wise that it might be easier to enhance and work on the current crossing that we have. And we're looking at doing that and see what costs would be involved to make it more accessible and visible, and with some signage and maybe some lighting at both ends of the crossing. And again, that's really needed to connect the two lots so we know if there's overflow, people can park in what we call a courthouse lot to get into our downtown. The dumpsters, there were four dumpsters in our lot in the courthouse lot. Kevin was able to get one of those eliminated, and then he also was able to get those moved, which I thought was a big plus because where they were, right in the center of that courthouse lot, kind of would block the view, and now that they're at the back of the lot, it's more of an opening, as you look across from our shops in downtown. And then we're also going to look at the municipal lot in this summer and fall to have it reconfigured to add some parking spots that we think in that lot. And once that is done, and maybe Kevin can comment on that a little bit too, he's got some ideas on this, and then when that's completed, we will be moving some of the police cars. And that'll all be determined when that...
Bill?
Yes.
While we're talking about that, one of the ideas that I have, because I know it's, you know, the reasons the police cars are parked on this side of the railroad tracks, and one of my ideas was, you know, we have a large asset sitting outside 100% of the time in the weather, not protected. Is there any possibility of looking into maybe having some kind of protection for the police cars if they're moved to the other side of the track? At least get them out of the weather and out of the snow. You know, $40,000 a vehicle or $50,000 a vehicle, we have them sitting outside 100% of the time in the weather. I think that's something we need to take a look at if we're going to move where they're
That's something we could definitely take a look at and get an idea what the cost would be, and it'd probably be a good investment, I agree. Angle parking on Main Street, the spaces will be made available, and I'd ask Kevin to maybe help me on this a little bit. We have talked about it. We were looking at the second block of Main Street. It's really not feasible in the first block of Main Street between Monroe Street and Maplewood. The second block, it probably could happen. The problem would be the cost and how many spaces you could utilize with the number of driveways that we have on that second block.
Yeah, with all of the drives that you have in that second block, it doesn't make it conducive to that angle parking, because you obviously have to start stop wherever you have a drive. And with angled parking, you basically lose 18 feet on each end of your parking, because you've got the 9 feet of the vehicle pulling in. So you lose 9 feet on each end. If you take a look at the number of drives that we have along that section of Main Street, it really cuts back on the number of spaces that you're able to get between there. So it's doable. It's going to be a costly project. And, you know, I don't think we're going to get that many spaces. I think we're going to get, you know, maybe about 20, a little more than 20 spaces possibly on the west side. But the cost is going to be probably, you know, in excess. I looked at both sides, and we couldn't get even 40 spaces on that. And the cost of that was going to be over $500,000. So even if you cut that back to try to do one side, it's probably still going to be in excess of $300,000, $350,000. You're drastically going to change the scape of that block. It's not going to have a grassy boulevard. It's not going to have trees. It's going to be sidewalk, parking, street. And, you know, just like your main section of Main Street, that's solid building. You're going to have these open spaces. I mean, there's not going to be any beauty there other than, you know, back off the street. So it just doesn't lend itself to a lot of spaces for the cost. And those are very general numbers. You know, to dig in with survey information and that kind of stuff, you know, it's more so than just a visual. But when you start taking a look at curb replacement, sidewalk replacement, excavation for the additional pavement, the pavement itself, it's easily going to be in that 350 range for cost. So.
Mark, I did check with Cheryl from JJR, and she had some comments on it also with the angle parking, and this is a component of most downtowns, and a lot of downtowns that they've worked on having angle parking, but I think our problem in that, when you have to add into a curb cuts and some of the things Kevin talked about, she was afraid of the cost that would probably be prohibitive in just general terms. She just was afraid of the different costs for different things we'd have to move to have that.
Okay.
The east parking lot that's owned by JDRM and the Stans lease, they are open to the idea of merging the lots to make the lots easier to navigate. A couple problems though, reconfiguring the lot, which we had, I think had heard this from others, that does not gain us a lot of parking spots over there. It does make it easier to navigate, it would look better, there would be a lot of pluses to it. Currently there's about 144 spots available over there. And they are, but even though they're interested in and open to the idea, they're not interested in paying for that improvement. And we estimated that it'd be at least $800,000 to renovate, you know, the lot to get it into one usable new lot. There was a past study that looked at combining these lots with other property lots. The Yee property is on Main Street. That's adjacent to the J&G Pizza building. Dreschers have a building on Maplewood. They have a small parking lot. And the credit union has a lot. When this was looked at before, all those lots were figured into and combined with the municipal lots the JDRM and Stansley lots into one major lot, and but when I talked to all those parties, none of them were interested in combining or changing the setup that they currently have with their own parking lot. So they want to keep those separate. So when I reconfigured the estimate for that past study, you know, again, this is just a rough estimate of what it would cost probably to do these two lots into one new lot. Side.
Bill, did you talk recently to all three of those property owners?
Yes.
Okay. My understanding is the credit union lot is a city lot, actually, city owned. Is that true?
There's the Drescher lot, then there's a city lot, then there's the credit union lot.
Okay.
So there's three right there in a row.
So where does the city lot fit into this calculation? It's just an orphan lot out there off the
right. I think there's about eight spaces in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's along the driveway of the Drescher lot and then adjacent to the credit union lot.
Bill, do you know who uses those eight spaces?
It's just...
Are they usually full or are they just sitting there?
I think it's just sitting there. I think it's used for more of the special events when we have big crowds in downtown.
So they're available for public parking?
Yes.
But they're not marked public parking?
I think it is. There's small signage, but we could probably do a better job of just noting it. I think that's the one thing that all of them said, that they have no problem with people using their lots in the evenings for special events. And we do have great cooperation in our downtown with all the property owners that have lots. They're not being too restrictive to people using it. It was talked about the duplex and some of the...
Before you go on, the $800,000, in light of what you said, you thought it was going to cost to fix up the lot here behind this building? That's a lot of money. Where does the cost come from in redoing that lot? Because where does the $800,000 come from?
Again, with the, I think in taking down, there's about three or four barriers with trees, with light poles. There's a lot of things that just the whole thing would have to be dug up and redone.
You're basically looking at full reconstruction of that lot. You basically take everything that's in there out and start from scratch. You probably wouldn't have to put all of the stone base back, but everything that you see today is out and redone. Yeah, because all of your electric lines for your light, irrigation lines, drainage lines, all of that has to be redone.
So that lot, not only does it, I mean, do we need more parking? And, I mean, I hear complaints about it all the time. So it just looks like an eyesore. Even if you didn't want to park there and you drive by, it looks like blight. I mean, the way things, I mean, that's what people are seeing before they get to our Main Street. Even if we don't get extra spots, it just makes sense to improve it, because that's like our front door right there. That's where people are parking. They get out of their car and they fall into a pothole and they're dodging other holes. And I mean, the Stansleys, I guess you said last week that they fixed it. Well, two bags of Quikrete in a pothole is not fixing that lot. It's a mess. And I get why they don't want to pay for it. If everybody uses it, the whole downtown uses it, then why should just the Stansleys have to pay for it, or the other guy that owns it? I mean, we should take some, I mean, it's, I guess we're not responsible for it either, but someone needs to step up. It's a mess.
I would agree, Katie, that I think in my conversations and in reviewing this, it's viewed as a public lot, and neither company acts in a way to keep people out from using the lot for any purpose.
I mean, if we consider, like, I know that there's, I feel like I remember that there was money in the budget for the Laros parking lot. If we get the Tier 2 money to do the Laros parking lot, then we could use the money that's in the budget to help this parking lot.
Yeah, I that's true, but let's remember that this is at whatever price point it is, whether it's 800 or 400 or a cleanup and fix-up project, that's still capital dollars, which we have to find someplace, right? And I'm not disagreeing with you, Katie, but it's not as easy as taking.
Maybe we can get them to sign some kind of a lease that says this will definitely be public parking for, the life of asphalt.
And that's probably desirable, but the money's the money, right? So we need to find some dollars someplace to do that, which maybe we should. Maybe that's what the committee should suggest. But
because that seems like our biggest problem. That's what I hear the most complaints about from the business owners, from people that are parking right there. I mean, you've gotten some of those emails too. I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, yeah, I know, it's a wreck. That's all I can think of saying lately.
Yeah, as well. I mean, I appreciate the fact.
These are privately owned properties.
Yeah, I mean, these are also business owners who are, that we want to keep them downtown, right?
Right.
We don't want to create any body language that suggests that we don't appreciate what we're doing or appreciate that they're there. Let's come back and have, if we want, a little more discussion about some of these major items, but let's right now let Bill get through his list and see how much time we've got.
Thanks, Mark. And then there was also on that side near with the connecting with the east lot was the duplex on Summit Street. There's questions about purchasing that. Do you convert it to parking? Do you remain as it is? What's happening with that? The owner of that property and he has a few more. I think it was a total of five or six properties, and he's selling them all. And as a package. So I think once that's done, it may be available for purchase down the road. I think, and again, like we found out with other properties, like the duplexes, when you had control of a site, you could have parking or a driveway behind. I think keeping that as a possible retail spot or commercial spot in the future could be, or you could take it down and add parking. There's both sides to look at that. And if you, price that it would cost, might cost somewhere $100,000 to $120,000 to purchase today, would be my estimate.
Where are the other properties? Are they downtown properties,
no,
or are they just random?
It's just other properties in the area, nothing to do with downtown. It's the only one that was downtown.
Okay.
Then the enforcement issues. When we sent the letter out to the business owners saying that the designated spots at the front of the municipal lot would have a three-hour time limit. Definitely the chalking that I'm going to thank the chief for taking the lead on this, definitely got people's attention, and I think it did what it needed to do. There were warnings issued, but we did not get tickets. Through this whole process, that's the only time I've gotten a lot of feedback from, it was feared that we were writing tickets and people were getting tickets, and when I assured them they weren't, that all kind of quieted down. So I think the peak times we found in downtown are Thursdays and Fridays, with use of some of the businesses downtown. So right now, we're not getting any calls or complaints of people not finding a place to park on this side of downtown, but I think as we get into summer and we get into more businesses and people coming downtown, it'll become more of a, you know, priority area, and again, just more opportunities that we provide, you know, near downtown, it definitely will help.
So as soon as people get that they're not getting a ticket, it's just a warning, are we going to, like, work up the tickets, or how are we going to enforce that?
I think we would periodically, you know, ask the police department to chalk and put out warnings. And if it gets to the point and we have complaints that there aren't places to park, then I would recommend to the mayor and say, maybe we need to do some ticketing now. But I would not recommend that now, just based on the only complaints I'm getting are fear of getting tickets, not that we don't have a place to park. Any other questions?
Any other questions for Bill or comments? We had some ad hoc comments as he's gone through, but any other specific questions or comments?
So back to number one, did you get any responses from businesses after they were notified?
I'm sorry.
Did you get any response back to number one? Did you get any responses back from businesses?
Nothing negative at all.
They were mailed, or you talked to them, or emailed?
We made sure that everything was sent. I went around and talked to just about every business, and that all went pretty well. And I don't think I mentioned on the dumpsters, too, that Kevin's working with the owners of the dumpsters on the municipal court lot, that side of the tracks, to also put those dumpsters in better places also.
And then just something I'm just putting out there, since you came after this happened, but we actually hired a sign consultant, and it went through the streets committee. Remember, Todd? And they, like, figured out all of our parking or all of our signs and where you put the parking signs, and we've already been through that study and put up the signs. I don't think people in our little downtown are really looking for signs to park. They're looking for a space. I mean, when you're downtown is only two blocks, nobody's looking for signs. They're just looking for a spot to park.
That came up in my interviews with people, that, and like some of the restaurants said, people did not know where to park.
I don't think they look at the signs.
They wanted more signage to get people to the public lots.
You know, I don't agree with you on that. I think people who don't frequently visit downtown do look for signs.
But we have signs. That's what I'm saying. We already went through the whole sign consultant thing.
On Maplewood, I think we just found out, right? I mean, it's one thing to say that we don't have signs. I think it's another to say people don't look for them.
Well, we have them. That's why I'm thinking they don't look for them.
We have some, Kate. We don't. I think we could add a few. I actually called Carmen.
That's who we use.
I work with on signs. So anything we would do, I think would have to, you know, complement what we already have. And, you know, I want Kevin to be involved with the signage. Yeah, the last thing we want is too many signs. But, you know, take as a test, just go north, south, east, and west, and driving to downtown, and you tell me what you see with where it marks for parking is. It's hard to find. We all know where they are, but if you're a visitor, it's hard to, I mean, you can find it easy enough, but it'd be nice if we had it marked a little bit better.
Well, our wayfinding signs were a significant investment. So as you think about adding signing for parking, I wouldn't feel constrained to use exactly the same standards. I think we could do good signage that isn't ugly, that fits in with the community, that isn't of the necessarily of the same at the same level of what we've already got in. Particularly if we're just adding, I mean, we do have signage that directs to parking, maybe not all of it or as much as some of the business owners would like, but as we look on expanding that, I wouldn't feel compelled. Wouldn't rule it out, but I wouldn't feel compelled to use the same type of signs.
I probably would.
Okay. We're going to run out of time, and I really don't want to bump up against our meeting, but a question for Kevin on the lot here on the west side of Main. I appreciate what the way you approached kind of doing the fix-up here. Have you at all thought about incorporating to that kind of a review of the plantings that are back there? We spent, again, a lot of dollars to have those trees planted a number of years ago. I don't know what shape they're in, but is that something that we can have Pat or somebody look at?
That's part of what we're looking at. Obviously, it doesn't create any spaces or anything like that, but take a look at cleaning up or dressing up the islands between parking rows to open it up a little bit. The kind of trees that were planted, they become very dense and very full, and it doesn't provide a canopy. It just provides a mass. So we're taking a look at that.
So we might be willing to switch some of those out.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I
make one comment. I think we still need to pursue the east parking lot. It's a lot of money, but it's an opportunity for the city, you know, to continue to review that. Coming into the city, I wouldn't think that was a municipal parking lot because it's not marked.
Yeah.
The residents that live here know that they can use it, but it's an opportunity for us to enhance our municipal parking, and the cost, you know, $800,000, I think it's exorbitant to put that kind of investment into property that's not owned by the city. We'd have to come up with some kind of a lease agreement, you know, 99-year lease agreement or whatever, to protect our investment. But I would like to pursue that. I think that's our best opportunity to really increase, even though you say it doesn't increase parking, it would increase parking for the public knowledge that that is a municipal parking lot.
Yeah.
And that's what I would like to.
Mike, you know, I agree with you, but I'd like to suggest something. You know, Bill went through this very efficiently, but there's a lot to process. And I guess if we talk about parking on the east side, I have some questions, for example, about the duplex, right? I mean, we made a major investment on Main Street in buying some property so that we could create some parking for a new business coming to town. I supported that. It was a sound investment, but it started with controlling the property. So as we talk about that further, I'd like to have some more discussion about acquiring the duplex and maybe making a run at some of those other businesses again. My point is this, though. It is a lot to process, and I'd like to suggest that we all think about what Bill reported to us and maybe schedule another meeting in the near term to come back with our own thoughts, specific thoughts, for the administration about how we might want to proceed. Because I agree with you on the east parking lot piece. I'm curious about if we do succeed in getting a Tier 1 grant to redo the Laros property into a parking lot. I think we already budgeted for that, and so where does that money go? Can we apply that to some things in the downtown? But this is not, we're running out of time to talk about it tonight. Let's plan on a different meeting. Don't hold that thought about the east parking lot, because I'm with you.
I'm with him too, and I would like, but I'm with him on his comments about we need to understand, you know, what sort of commitment.
Yeah, this is not a let's just do it kind of a thing. I think it's got to be put into the budget. It's a fairly significant capital expense. So if council feels like it's appropriate, we should talk with the finance director to get it rolled into some rational budgeting cycle. But I think the legal piece too, what do we get for what we're going to get?
I mean, if we could genuinely lock that up for $800,000
Yeah.
as public parking.
It's a good deal, right?
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, right. So let's make a commitment to meet again soon. We'll schedule it tonight, perhaps, and be prepared to come back and be more specific about the input to the administration. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Anything else tonight?
Bill, thank you for the presentation.
Nice job, and Kevin as well. Okay, at 7:30, we'll need a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mary, seconded by Katie. I know you're not in the committee, but you really are. So we're adjourned at 7:30. I do want to say for the record that while we were meeting, Mr. Schroyer and Ms. Booker from the administration joined us as well. And, no, I said him in the beginning. He was here at the beginning. Okay, we're adjourned.
Let's take 5 minutes before we begin.